morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, July 17th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Kenyan President Ruto opens the mid-year coordination meeting of the African Union.
I want to celebrate all of you who are here today, not just for making time to be here, but also for the work you do every day in taking the Pan-African Unity Project forward. This is what the integration agenda is all about.
Somalia obtains new weaponry following the easing of an arms embargo. South Africa is in a bind as the BRICS summit approaches. Senegal's main opposition chooses Ousmane Sonko as its candidate for 2024 presidential elections. Zimbabwe's main opposition criticizes a newly signed law by President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
The constitution of Zimbabwe allows what to call the freedom of speech, but that patriotic act, it actually goes against the constitution of the land.
And a court in Liberia orders the closure of a radio and television station. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. About 10 African heads of state and 51 foreign ministers and hundreds of other delegates met Sunday in Nairobi, Kenya, for the fifth mid-year coordination meeting of the African Union. Welcoming the delegates, Kenyan President William Ruto said Africa remains united as it marches into the future.
We are a busy continent that is going places. The young, clean, green continent of the future, and we are determined to lead our march into this future as a united, empowered contributor of sustainable solutions for global problems. We are reasoning together, generating effective solutions together, implementing them together, facing our challenges head on together, making progress and getting results. This is what has brought Africa's implementation leadership to Nairobi, and the sum total of the agenda of the fifth media summit, which is this meeting. For this, I want to celebrate all of you who are here today, not just for making time to be here, but also for the work you do every day in taking the Pan-African Unity Project forward. For this is what the integration agenda is all about.
That was Kenyan President William Ruto addressing the fifth mid-year coordination meeting of the African Union on Sunday. African Union Chairman Musa Faki Mahamat, speaking through an interpreter, spoke about the several countries in the Sahel region that are having problems with their transitions to democracy. He also said the situation in Somalia remains fragile despite the efforts of President Hassan Sheikh Mohamed and the African Union Transition Mission, also known as ATMIS.
Obviously, the situation in the Sahel, particularly with the G5 countries, continue to be of concern. Several countries in this area, in this region, and the various attempts that have been made for a transition, in fact, to have democratic elections. The African Union and the appropriate regional organization are trying to help these in order to restore constitutional order in accordance with the principles and the aspirations of the peoples concerned. In the Horn of Africa, in Somalia, despite the remarkable efforts and the leadership of President Hassan Sheikh Mohamed, with the support of ATMIS, the situation still remains fragile.
That was African Union Chairman Musa Faki Mahamat speaking Sunday in Nairobi, Kenya. The Somali military has obtained new weaponry to help in the fight against Al-Shabaab. Hussein Sheikh Ali, the National Security Advisor for the President of Somalia, tells Harun Maruf of the U.S. Somali Language Service that the government bought some of the weapons, while others were donated by partners. Somalia was under a United Nations arms embargo for decades, which restricted the government's ability to buy or obtain heavy weapons. Ali said the government has taken advantage of a new United Nations resolution easing the restrictions.
Resolution 2662 have slightly configured and expanded the ability of Somalia to obtain a number of capabilities of weaponry that they could not afford in the past. And that Somalia have obtained helicopters, Mortar 120, and others that was on the restricted annexes in the past resolutions. So that is the new resolution that we have taken advantage of it. But we are hoping this November, Somalia, to complete the lift, the embargo of the army embargo.
So how did you obtain these weapons? Did you buy or were they donated by foreign governments to Somalia?
It's a mix. Some we bought and some we have been donated to our partners.
And how are these weapons, including helicopters, going to enable Somali forces fight against Al-Shabaab?
It's greatly helping already. It's an enabler that Shabaab, in terms of maneuvers and movements, helicopters can help a lot. In terms of these other weaponry, where the range is way higher than those that the Shabaab have, it's also will make the difference on the ground.
So are these helicopter gunships or other types of helicopters?
At the moment, it's mainly on logistics and the CASVAX purposes, but it can also, when it needs to, take part of combat.
Hussein Sheikh Ali is the National Security Advisor for the President of Somalia. He was speaking with Haroon Maruf of VOA Somali Language Service. The agreement allowing the shipment of Ukraine wheat and grain to the world is set to expire today, Monday. There are reports UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has been negotiating with Russian President Vladimir Putin to extend the deal. Reuters also reports that Putin spoke by phone with South African President Cyril Ramaphosa about the grain deal and next month's BRICS summit in South Africa. The International Criminal Court has issued an arrest warrant for Putin for war crimes related to the war in Ukraine. As an ICC member, South Africa is required to arrest Putin should he come to South Africa. Professor Sipho Sipe is the former Deputy Vice Chancellor for Institutional Support at the University of Zululand. He tells me that South Africa finds itself in a bind because it made unprincipled choices.
He has been invited, but because of the challenges they will face with the Rome Statute, the South African government will be forced to arrest him. So President Ramaphosa hopes that there'll be a change of heart, that the president of Russia will decide not to come. At the moment, it is up to the Russian government to decide whether it's coming. But the Chinese government is also keen on having Putin, because it makes no sense for them to come to South Africa and a big player like Russia is not there. So that is where the challenge is.
So are you saying that China would like for Russia to attend?
Yeah, the China is very clear that if the summit takes place, Russia should be there because it makes sense. Remember, South Africa is a junior partner and probably the most junior partner in BRICS. So it makes no sense for China to come, and a partner like Russia is not there. But what Ramaphosa was hoping, and the South African government was hoping, is that because of the ongoing war in Ukraine, Putin might consider having to resolve and to attend to an immediate challenge that he's facing, rather than to come to South Africa. But we also know that if Putin comes, despite the fact that South Africa says it will have to arrest him, we know as a matter of fact that they will not have the capability, even the willingness to do so.
So, Professor, in a way, South Africa is caught in a bind because on the one hand, if President Putin does come to South Africa, President Ramaphosa may decide whether to arrest or not to arrest him. If he doesn't arrest him, he's also in trouble with, say, countries like the United States in terms of relations.
Definitely. And this is what you get when your decisions are not principled. And the unfortunate thing with the U.S., or you could say South Africa versus the U.S., is that the U.S. is one of our major trading partners. Our trade with Russia is minuscule. So the economic consequences are dire. And this is what the business in South Africa is saying, is to say, we don't have much trade with Russia. Why would you want to risk our economic relations and trade relations with the U.S. and the West? So he is in a bind. But that's what happens when you are not principled.
Professor Sipo Sipe is a political analyst and former deputy vice chancellor for institutional support at the University of Zululand. You are speaking with me from Johannesburg. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, July 17. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. VOA's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our programs. Send a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number, +1 202 258 3076. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know about a particular news story that you connected with. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa and tell us what stories you think we should cover or how we can improve. Once again, the WhatsApp number is +1 202 258 3076. That's +1 202 258 3078. And thanks for 60 years of support. In Zimbabwe, an official of the main opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, also known as CCC, led by Nelson Chamisa, says a new law signed by President Emmerson Mnangagwa is draconian and violates the country's constitution. The Criminal Law Codification Reform Amendment Bill, also known as Patriotic Bill, punishes citizens or permanent residents who campaign for sanctions or trade boycotts against Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, main opposition leader Nelson Chamisa promised on Sunday at a campaign rally that if he's elected in the August 23rd election, he would revive Zimbabwe's crumbling health system. For more on these developments, I spoke with Amos Chibaya, a member of parliament and organizing secretary for the main opposition Citizens Coalition for Change.
The Zimbabwe economy is actually in the sorry state. Everything is collapsed, be it the health sector, transport sector, infrastructure, and so forth. So he tagged that when he gets into power on the 24th of August 2023. He will revive the economy through addressing the health issues. You know, if you come to Zimbabwe right now, our hospitals are actually in the sorry state. It's actually, if you go to hospital, instead of going to be treated, you're actually going there to die. So you are saying that he will attend to all those issues and make sure that our hospitals are real hospitals where people can get medication, where people can get treatment.
Does your party have a comment on this law that President Mnangagwa signed that has to do with whether someone is agitating for sanctions against Zimbabwe or what?
I'm actually one of the MPs. We debated against that law because that law is those are what we call draconian laws. It's only meant to actually close or shrink the democratic space. You can't arrest someone because he or she talks to a foreigner. It does not make any sense in this world. Such laws cannot be found in any democratic space. You can't pass such laws, especially now when we are going for election. We can talk to anyone. It's only meant to stop or to bar, especially us from the opposition, to engage or to talk with anyone, especially outside the country, mainly the European countries. But look, you can't put a law which bar people to talk to other people, whether locally or international, because we believe that the whole world is now like a village. So if the whole world is now like a village, you can't put such barriers. The Constitution of Zimbabwe allows what we call the freedom of speech, but that Patriotic Act, it actually goes against the question of the land.
Amos Chibaya is a member of parliament and organizing secretary for the main opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, also known as CCC, led by Nelson Chamisa. He was speaking with us from the Zimbabwe capital, Harare. Senegal's opposition Patriots of Senegal for Work Ethics and Fraternity Party, also known as PASTEF, has chosen Ousmane Sonko as its candidate for the 2024 presidential election. Sonko faces two legal hurdles, a rape charge and a libel conviction. He has appealed the conviction. Nafisa Dia is a member of Sonko's party. She says even though President Macky Sall has said he will not seek a third term, he is still active behind the scenes, deciding who should run. For example, Dia tells me that Sonko was not allowed to attend his own nomination as he is still under house arrest.
Political party has to nominate his candidate to the coming presidential election, and some have already started to do it. It's an internal nomination first, and then you go outside, you organize a sort of meeting where you tell to the whole country that this one is our candidate. This is the one we chose among us. And some political parties did it already. However, when we did that inside PASTEF, we booked a stadium to do it inside the stadium.
So it's like a primary system.
That's it.
So did the party choose Mr. Sonko?
We chose him. We have over 50 little coordinations, and each of them voted. And they chose unanimously Mr. Ousmane Sonko as the candidate of PASTEF for the February presidential elections.
I think you were supposed to have a rally to do this. Did you have it?
We were supposed to have a meeting inside the stadium. I believe it was on Thursday when we received the notification that we couldn't organize it. Because in Senegal, when you have to organize a public event that has to happen outside, maybe you might be hindering people from coming and going, blocking the traffic, etc. You have to just advise the authority and tell him that you're organizing such things, and you have to do it 3 days before the actual event. And we did that. We did that, and we proposed 5 different areas. And most of them were not public places. That was stadiums, meaning that in a stadium, inside the stadium, you cannot hinder people from going and doing their stuff. But we were told that, no, it can't happen. You cannot organize anything right now in Dakar, because that was an act of the governor of Dakar, saying that there is nothing that we can organize, being outside or inside private premises like a stadium.
Is that the law?
It's not the law. That's against the law. But, you know, so many things unlawful are happening right now, like this President Ousmane Sonko being prevented from going outside. So it's unlawful. But, you know, what can we do?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. Was Mr. Sonko himself present when he was nominated or when he was chosen?
The only place where Mr. Sonko is present right now and is entitled unlawfully to be present right now is inside his own home, nowhere else. Macky Sall prevents him from being present anywhere else other than his own house.
So the battle the opposition was fighting about President Macky Sall not to run for a third term, the president has made that decision. What is the future for the opposition for the election?
Indeed, the president has at last admitted that it's against the law for him to try to run for a third term.
Nafisa Dia is a member of Ousmane Sonko's PASTEF party. She was speaking with me from Moncton, Canada. The Press Union of Liberia has criticized the shutdown of Spoon FM as a direct infringement on freedom of expression. A court in Monrovia on Friday ordered the station closed. The Spoon network was sued last year by Wilmer Smith, then Deputy Director General for Information Coordination at the Liberia Institute for Statistics and Geoinformation Services. When President George Weah fired Smith, he sued the station for defamation for referring to him as a criminal. Information Minister Ledger Hureni says the Liberian government is not a part of the lawsuit that resulted in Spoon FM's closure. Akwe Besa Jr. is the Secretary General of the Press Union of Liberia. He tells me that suing media institutions silences freedom of speech and Liberia's democratic process.
The Press Union of Liberia denounced the order of the Civil Law Court to shut down Spoon Network Incorporated. We believe the action is arbitrary, intimidating, and is considered as an attack on the fundamental principles of democracy and a direct infringement on the freedom of expression and the free press.
A libel suit, or let's say defamation suit, was brought against Spoon FM
since November last year. Was there a trial? How did the court reach the decision to shut the station down?
Yes, there was a trial, but I still find it difficult to understand how this rate of closure came about.
You said in your press release that the courts are being used to silence or hinder the press in Liberia. Who is using the courts to curtail press freedom in Liberia?
The court is a part of a branch of government, and there is nothing that they will do that will not have a reflection or something to do with the government or about the government.
Information Minister Lejihu Renin has said that the decision to shut down Spoon FM was strictly a legal matter and that the Liberian government did not play a role. He also said the government of President George Weah has always respected freedom of speech and the press.
The president has always respected freedom of speech. Yes, we agreed. But almost 2 years now, the Press Union of Liberia petitioned this government to investigate brutalities, harassment, and intimidation against journalists perpetrated by security actors and some other government officials. Up to date, we are yet to have a response from this government.
Akwe Bessa Jr. is the Secretary General of the Press Union of Liberia. You are speaking with me from the capital, Monrovia. It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sports in Luanda, Angola, where Morocco won the FIBA African 2023 finals after beating Cote d'Ivoire 78-76 in an evenly matched encounter in Luanda. The win sees Morocco improve from their 2019 African campaign when they finished fourth in Bamako for the inaugural edition of the competition. It's Morocco's first continental trophy since winning the 1965 FIBA AfroBasket. Kevin Francesca, Moroccan forward, who also got the Most Valuable Player award, described their victory as well-deserved.
We're extremely proud as Moroccans to be in this stage and be able to finish like this. It was beautiful. Knowing that we had a lack of preparation, we only had 3 days to prepare, but the group came together. Really focused. Everybody was 100% from the first guy to the doctor of the team. And we're just very proud, and it's a beautiful finish.
And out to tennis, where Tunisian Ons Jabeur on Saturday described her third defeat in a Grand Slam final as the most painful of her career, but vowed to bounce back and break her jinx at the majors. The world number six was beaten 6-4, 6-4 by unseeded Markéta Vondrázová of the Czech Republic 1 year after she lost the Wimbledon final to Elena Rybakina. More pain followed at the U.S. Open later in the year, where she was runner-up again, this time to Iga Swiatek. It may be the hardest loss of her career, but the heartbroken aunt is confident these losses will teach her how to one day win these finals.
I cannot force anything right now. It wasn't meant to be. It wasn't. Definitely, this match, last year's match, the final of US Open, will teach me how to win these finals, and will definitely keep learning, keep being positive. And I think that's the thing that will keep me going.
In athletics, world record holder Nigerian Tobias Amusan overcame a slow start to claim victory in the photo finish in the 100 meters hurdles on the Silesia Diamond League in Poland, sprinting to a season's best of 12.34 seconds that equaled the meeting record in Chorzów, Poland. Amusan edged USA's Kendra Harrison, who finished second in a time of 12.35 seconds, while 2019 world champion Nia Ali of the United States finished third in 12.38 seconds. The Commonwealth gold medalist produced a strong finish to win the highly competitive women's 100 meters hurdles ahead of her rivals for next month's World Athletics Championships in Budapest. Another star performer at the Silesia Diamond League is Kenyan Mary Mora, who smashed the 400 meters meeting record on Sunday evening when she ran 1 minute 56.85 seconds. And that's it for this Monday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good Monday. And that's it for this Monday, July 17th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for beginning your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Barton in Washington, wishing that you will have a great week.